I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It turns out that leakers are sometimes correct. As Dragonflight will appear on 28th of November.
Get the dark gun!
Hey, man, there's a fucking dragon out here! Get the dark gun!
Gamers 2.
Hey.
Gamers 2 Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest. Yeah, new releases.
Dude, imagine.
Imagine new releases.
Imagine if we moved right into those. Just with such speed and vigor.
My brain has malfunctioned. I was trying to compute Dragonflight. And new releases into a transition, and my brain was just like, yo, I don't work good.
Your brain dumped half of your plan.
It basically was like, buffering.
New releases. Where's the rest of the packet?
New Crash.
That's all I got is new releases.
Crash.
Like, number one, The Spirit and the Mouse for PC. Number two, Dual Universe for the PC. Number three, Hako Life for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number four, Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection for the Switch. Number five, Penko Park for the Switch. Number six, Deathverse, Let It Die.
Dark.
For the PlayStation. Number seven, Destroyer the U-Boat Hunter for PC.
Interesting.
I pause. I feel a calling.
It's probably terrible. I'm gonna look it up.
That probably is. I hope it's like one of like Call of the Wild, but they made a game about shooting a boat. Number eight, Brewmaster for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number nine, Garl for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 10, Dorf Romantic for the Switch. Number 11, Moonbreaker for the PC, not to be confused with Moonraker. Number 12, Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 13, Railgrade for PC and Switch. Number 14, Sam & Max Beyond Time and Space for PS4. Number 15, Valkyrie Elysium for PlayStation. Number 16, Caffeine Victoria's Legacy for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 17, FIFA 23. And number 18, My Little Pony, A Maritime Bay Adventure for the PlayStation and Xbox.
A Maritime. I see what they did there. Mayor.
Oh, I was going with like a sea reference.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be maritime as in, I think it's meant to be a play on the words as artistes do.
I want to give them credit for that. I'm not going to.
Okay.
It's My Little Pony. The majority of people don't know that those are mares to begin with.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Destroyer the U-Boat Hunter is an innovative cross-genre destroyer simulation, which truthfully depicts the struggle of escort groups protecting Allied convoys against German U-boats during the Battle of the Atlantic. Very intense. Damn.
I mean, sign me up.
I had little faith. Now I'm questioning my existence.
Why haven't we perfected it yet? Why aren't we professional U-boat hunters?
Exactly.
Liquid.
There's so many wild U-boats out there.
Liquid needs to sign us as professional U-boat hunters.
Next big competitive game.
Our entire stream is just us hunting U-boats.
Take the esports world by storm. It's going to be on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Before WoW is.
Exactly.
Because they don't understand. The next great thing is U-boat hunting.
In the North Atlantic.
During a conflict. Not just for fun.
What a week indeed.
There are things we need to talk about, and I will take the evens.
Some big things, most of it just hot garbage.
That is also the nickname for this podcast.
Hot garbage.
Gamers 2, colon, hot garbage.
Hot garbage in my pants.
Okay.
Shit myself.
there's parts of me that so miss us having an audience. And when I say having an audience, I mean back to our days where we worked together because we could do that. And then the entire room just gets that awkward silent stare while there's 2 to 3 people just crying, laughing.
Being like, are they serious?
In the back room during inventory times, we're standing outside like, why aren't you guys doing inventory? Shit ourselves. Shit pants.
There's like, okay.
Like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, walk in there. It's a this literal hazmat zone. We can't be in there right now.
Number one, G2 Esports co-founder Carlos Rodriguez has resigned from his CEO position. This is all due to backlash directed towards Rodriguez over a video on Twitter of himself partying with Andrew Tate. I had to look this up. I didn't know who this guy was.
Andrew Tate or Carlos?
Andrew Tate.
You didn't know who that was?
No.
Honestly, it's for the better. Obviously, you know now. But it's for the better, and I am surprised you don't know.
Tate is an influencer banned last month by YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for various violations of their terms of service, including hate speech and misogyny.
Yeah. Not good.
No. Apparently, not a good dude. Not a good guy. Not a role model.
I mean, whatever you want to say about the G2 issue with him leaving, but, I mean, it's a nuanced thing where yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, you can party with whoever you want, but there are consequences to who you party with. And
I saw was the whole like brief thing of like, oh, banned last month by these people for these reasons.
Yeah, that's
like,
a small list compared to everywhere.
And I was like, all right, there's a million people on social media that's like this, whatever. And then I saw the first thing.
Oh no, you start seeing the clips.
I didn't see any clips, but I read about like, oh. He was a contestant on Big Brother, and then like videos leaked of him beating a woman, and I'm like, oh, okay, this type of guy.
Oh, and then it, as if beating a woman wasn't bad enough, and then it follows with, it gets worse.
Yeah.
I've seen like interview clips and stuff, and there's just like, what the fuck?
He's one of those people that does terrible things and doubles down on, yes. on them, like, yeah. oh, it's fine.
He's not in the wrong.
Yeah. So. Those people.
What we call a piece of shit.
Hot garbage. But real hot garbage. Yeah. Not in my pants. I wouldn't let that hot garbage in my pants. I'm a classy guy.
The only hot garbage I let in my pants is me. Number two, Netflix stepped up its push into games with the announcement of its fourth internal studio. And the first it's building from scratch instead of acquiring. The new studio will reside in Helsinki, Finland. With Marco Lestika. There's probably, it's Swedish, so it's probably a little bit of sh.
I'm going to go with Lestika.
Lestika. Serving as studio director, Lestika has been in the mobile game business for nearly 19 years, working stints at Digital Chocolate and Electronic Arts before jumping to Zynga, where he served as VP and general manager, co-founding that company's Helsinki Development Studio, which worked on Farmville 3. I mean, there's a lot of history in gaming in that entire just last list.
Clearly, Netflix is going for that mobile gaming approach, which makes sense.
Yeah, which does make sense. And to be fair, that is where I just learned Farmville 3 exists.
Same.
Honestly, mind-blowing from where we came in 2006.
Farmville. Wild that Farmville was such a hot thing.
Oh, it was such a hot thing.
So big.
Did you get into it?
No.
Like, back in the day, I say get into it. Like, did you ever play it? Did you play games on Facebook?
Never.
Never play games on Facebook?
This is, I think, part of the reason why I have such an aversion to mobile games is I literally haven't. It's never. I've played Snake.
Oh, God. Okay. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yep.
We need to discuss that Matt does a gaming podcast in 2022, and the game he brought up for his last mobile game was Snake.
I played Snake. I played a little bit of Pokemon Go when it came out. And that's my repertoire for mobile gaming.
1995, 2016.
That's it.
Just
you know what? And for that, honestly, you're probably better off.
I'd like to think so. You know, that's how I mentally...
I don't think you truly miss too many things. I think there are a couple things that you would enjoy.
I'm sure there's probably some
but things. But nothing like... I mean, solitaire, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like a good tower defense game. And I
crossword
play,
puzzles.
Sudoku.
Yeah, you could do that on there too. Yeah.
I've done that.
You can play
that. That used to be my go-to.
Balloons on there.
Play what?
Balloons.
Balloons?
Balloons. B-L-O-O-N-S. Tower defense.
Oh, okay.
You never played Balloons Tower Defense?
No.
Really?
No.
It's like one of the most tower defense games ever.
I don't know. Just never crossed paths with it.
Fucking Todd plays Tower Defense 6, I think, on his PC all the time.
I respect that.
I think
that.
He's questing in WoW and playing Tower Defense.
That's, you know what? That's a solid combo, though.
One on one.
Neither one really requires too much attention. It's just enough to, like, occupy you. And then I'm going to look something up real quick, you know?
He's got all those monkeys throwing bananas at balloons and darts and
damn. Living the life. Got a real banger for the next one here. I don't even know why it's on this list.
Because you wrote the doc.
Because I saw, ooh, Technicolor. I know that name.
Oh, God. Back to Matt bringing up stories.
I sound like an old man.
I don't play mobile games. Technicolor. I can hear the VHS intro happening in the background right now.
Bro, LaserDisc.
Okay, come on. You're not that old.
I have so many LaserDisc movies.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyways.
It's like saying I listened to things on an 8-track. Cassettes weren't cool enough for me.
Never went down that route. Technicolor's VFX and game studios are becoming a standalone entity under the name Technicolor Creative Studios. The newly created company has been trading publicly since this morning on Euronext Paris, while Technicolor will continue to trade on the same marketplace under the name Vantiva. Technicolor Creative Studios comprises VFX Studios MPC, The Mill, Micros Animation, and developer Technicolor Games.
I mean, this is all just to tell people that weren't sure Technicolor still existed that they are.
Technicolor's still around. A thing.
And now they're two studios. Two become one. You know what I mean?
There you go. Fascinating content.
Let's move to the year 2022. Number four. Take-Two Interactive and People Can Fly have terminated a development and publishing agreement pertaining to the latter's ongoing Project Dagger. Project Dagger is a new action-adventure IP that has been in development for the last 2 years, led by People Can Fly's New York team. People Can Fly has retained... God, I wish... The PCF? Wait, no, does that stand for something else?
I think you're with PCF.
Am I?
Should I Google it real quick?
Because I feel like that's like, it's a step away from something else.
PRC.
Well, there's the PRC, but no, like PCF. What's the first thing that comes up?
The first thing that comes up is stock. That's the High Income Securities Fund.
Okay, not what I was thinking.
And then there's PCF Curing Together Prostate Cancer Foundation.
Perfect, we're good. PCF has retained the intellectual property rights to Project Dagger, and Take-Two has not declared an intent to acquire them. As such, the studio can continue development on the project as it sees fit. Advances paid to the studio will be repaid depending on the model in which the game will be commercialized, whether it be self-published or released in collaboration with another third-party publisher. In a statement, People Can Fly, PCF, CEO Sebastian Wojciechowski, said that self-publishing is part of our strategy, but added that the studio is not ruling out working with a new publisher. He also said, quote, I assume we will part on good terms, and I don't see reasons why we couldn't work with Take-Two on some other project in the future, end quote.
Interesting. Interessante.
Like that somehow I got thrown Wojciechowski in the beginning.
Yeah. Strategic. No, it wasn't. Just luck of the draw.
But, you know, it is what I do.
That's true. Number five, Japanese publisher Atlus has filed a lawsuit against the two people responsible for the maintenance of a private server for Shin Megami Tensei. Imagine.
What year? What? Why? What year is it?
We're getting into that. Also known as SMT Imagine, an online MMO that the company closed down several years ago. The lawsuit, which was filed in December, accuses two defendants of, quote, blatant violation of U.S. copyright law, end quote, after deciding to resurrect the title with their Rekakumi, I don't know, I fucking butchered that, Imagine project. It states that the pair did this by creating an exact copy of the original website for SMT Imagine, which directed users to download an exact or nearly exact copy of the game. As SMT Imagine was an MMO that required online functionality, the suit also accuses the defendants of creating an unauthorized web server or server emulator that emulates the original game and allow users to play together online. The official online servers for SMT Imagine were closed in the US and Japan in 2015 and 2016, respectively.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
It's not often that you hear Shin Megami Tensei and Technicolor in the same podcast.
I know, right? We're really, really...
We're breaking new ground.
We are fucking just bringing people what they want.
That's true. Every week I see everybody clamoring, like, why don't you guys talk about Technicolor more?
Do you have any strong feelings on dead games like that and people resurrecting them? I guess it's probably...
Strong feelings? No. Part of me says, well, I don't know. Because part of it, I think, is a copyright thing, obviously. And I think copyright's ridiculous as far as how it actually operates.
Yeah.
But something like this, it's been dead for 6 years at the latest end. So if somebody wants to do it, then fine. The only thing that I think it's weird is, depending on how all the legalities are, do you say that you can do the exact same thing, but you have to change the names and stuff because we're not assuming any... Like, obviously, logically, we know that company is not assuming any of the risk involved. Like, none of the users that download this can come to them and complain.
Yeah.
Because it's not their thing anymore. But that will happen, and they will blame them because it's Shin Megami, you know, it's yada, yada, yada. So it's like, I can understand it from that, where they want to protect themselves from stupid people and stupid laws or executions or whatever, but it's like, you've been dead for 6 years. Let somebody do it.
Yeah, I'm curious how this is going to turn out, because nowhere did I see any mention of money. Like, I don't think they're charging people for this. I think it's just like, it's like the Star Wars Galaxies servers. It's different to a certain extent.
It's the same idea.
Yeah, same idea. But
it's the same stuff where it's like, as long, the whole thing you have to end up worrying about is that if you ever plan on doing anything in the future, and somebody has that experience with you, and say somebody sets up a rogue server and, you know, just uses it to steal people's data under the name Shin Megami Tensei, then you're like,
yeah,
then you're screwed, because it's like, no, that's not us. So I don't know. It's kind of whatever. The only thing I hate is that, and it's different for an online game like that.
Yeah. I think it's going to become,
where if it was a single player offline game, then it's like, I understand that you guys don't want to support things like that, but just keep the old ROMs around and then let people load emulators, and who cares?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to actually start making new entries in the series or re-releasing them, then get the hell out of the way.
I think it's going to become more of a problem as you know, going forward, because we're going to have more games that this happens to.
Yeah.
And you're going to end up with people who want to play these games and they can't.
True. Ooh, hey. I got this one. Number 6. Back to 2022. Skull and Bones. Skull
and
Bones.
There's
speaking,
a few.
First off, speaking of 2022, good joke. Skull and Bones starting in 2016. So the timeline's correct.
Ubisoft's got, they took a record this year, this week.
Delays? Shit shows?
No, we'll get to it.
Don't worry. All right. Number 6 is officially Skull and Bones has been delayed yet again, as the game has been pushed back from its November 8th release date to a March 9th, 2023 launch, which, hey, you know what they say about March launches. Ubisoft said. Well, March launch is end of fiscal.
Yeah.
So it means they either rush it out or they delay it out of fiscal, which is like scary both times. Anyway, Ubisoft said, quote, while the game development is finished at this stage, the extra time will be used to further polish and balance the experience using players' feedback from our technical tests and insider program, which happened over the past 2 weeks. This is the right decision, both for our players and for the long-term success of the game, as March 9th, 2023 provides for a suitable release window for this very unique brand.
That last sentence makes me think they delayed it to stick it in a place where there wasn't any competition.
Yes. And bad news, there's going to be a lot of fucking competition because there's a lot of things releasing around that time. Harry Potter is supposed to be around that like window.
Nothing set in stone, though, so I think this was just a bad tactical move.
What are you in the way of this fall?
Call of Duty, maybe?
Which is what everybody's in the way of. It doesn't matter. Call of Duty's going to happen no matter what. You can't keep moving for Call of Duty.
Listen, we're talking about Ubisoft here.
Ragnarok's in late November.
You got to get in Ubisoft's mind.
Ragnarok?
Which is we're Ubisoft, and our games compete with everyone.
I know, but is Ragnarok what the discussion is?
I mean,
the game you're not like at all because you're a boat and they're a man and a boy.
I'm a boat and I'm going fast and I got a nautical theme, Pashmino Afghan. Copyright.
Yeah, because we sound like T-Pain. Again. The only person, this is a reference. I think we've talked about this in the podcast.
I'm the king of the world on a boat like Leo.
If you on the show, then you show not Mio. This goes back to one of the first times that Matt and I ever like connected do you remember this? I don't know if you do. It's a Lonely Island.
I got a terrible memory.
It's a Lonely Island reference. It was I believe it was a Sunday. It was an ad set.
Did we start singing Lazy Sunday?
Kind of. It might have been that I was coming in to close or whatever because we were alternating. You might have been in before or whatever it was. And we were in the signage room. And I believe you said I got the hunger pains. And I followed it with this thing like Duck Day. And you just turned and went, nobody ever responds with the actual second line.
I still say that to this day.
Yeah, man. Got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, back on some cupcakes. Oh, man. Good shit. Speaking of Ubisoft.
Wake up in the late afternoon.
Ubisoft has announced yet another project.
Oh, great.
Project U.
Okay.
An upcoming PvE game that, quote, explores a new concept of session-based co-op shooter, where many players unite to prevail against an overwhelming threat. Destiny. End quote.
Division.
The publisher says Project U is, quote, in early development, end quote, and the first test will be English language based and PC only to be held across various European countries. What could be any worse
than them launching another game?
Another new concept game from Ubisoft.
Define new concept. Are you saying new concept as that's defined by Ubisoft?
Let's be clear. That's what they're saying.
Okay. Because when I hear Ubisoft say new concept, I say 2008 did that already.
Yeah. 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 Oh, Ubi.
What are you doing?
Saudi Arabia is going to buy you.
I don't even think they're an option for Saudi Arabia because they look at them and go, I don't know what the fuck I do.
I don't know what the fuck you are. And I don't like the French. No. I don't know if that's the thing. Making that up.
Number 8. Sony's new PlayStation Stars loyalty program will launch in North and South America on October 5th. The new program will let PlayStation fans earn rewards like points and digital collectibles by doing things like playing a game or earning certain trophies. Sony has also spelled out some of the finer details of the program, which broadly line up with the information that we've heard before. The service is free to join with an adult PlayStation Network account. And while players can earn some benefits if they are a PlayStation Plus member, you don't need to subscribe to PlayStation Plus to join Stars. Let's be clear about that entire sentence. When we say an adult PlayStation account, we do not mean the hub.
Are you sure?
Yeah, followed by to join Stars instead of PlayStation Stars. It's like, well, all right, let's, you know, roll it back a little bit. The full PlayStation Stars experience, which you need an adult account for, will be available via the PlayStation mobile app, but not consoles to start. Sony said in September that Stars would expand to consoles in the future. You'll be able to earn both loyalty points and digital collectibles via PlayStation Stars. Points will be able to be redeemed for things like PSN funds and certain PlayStation Store items. The collectibles will include things like digital versions of characters and devices from PlayStation's history, and you'll be able to display them in a case in the PlayStation app.
Ooh. This is so fucking stupid.
Bro, you want to come over and see my stuff? Look at this.
Hey, girl, let me show you my PlayStation app. I'll show you all my collectibles.
Would you consider yourself a moister than an oyster? kill me. Some of the collectibles will be ultra rare. Well, it's unclear exactly what it will take to get those. The company stresses that the collectibles are not one of a kind and do not leverage a blockchain technology and can't be resold or traded. Fun time for some controversy.
As always.
Controversy over some tier incentives. Players start at the level 1 tier when they sign up for PlayStation Stars. In order to unlock the level 4 tier, they have to buy 4 games from the PlayStation Store at full price and acquire 128 rare trophies. Once they achieve that, Sony said, they'll receive a commemorative collectible and priority in the chat when they connect to PlayStation customer support about any issue they may encounter. So if you want us to actually give a shit about helping you, you gotta pay us roughly, quick math, $300-something.
Get them. I don't even know. I care so little about this.
The moment this happened, and again, going back to the conversation that we were having with Dewey and everything, I'm like, PlayStation Home.
Yeah.
This is Home 2, Electric Boogaloo. Why does it not exist?
Things lining up too much, though, too. They have this Stars program, which is coming later with console support. They have a PSVR that's supposedly launching in spring of 2023. You want to tell me they're not going to be like, by the way, Home 2, PSVR 2, PlayStation Stars, woohoo,
like, how do
PlayStation
you...
augmented reality or virtual reality or whatever, give us money.
Like, how do you not... Okay, cool. They're displayable in a PlayStation app for, you know, yourself to just peruse. But how is the whole point is, like, you want to show them off to your friends or whatever. Do they have to go to, like, if you're not doing Home, would you say that they have to go to your profile in their friends list and then say view collection cabinet or something to in order to see it?
Which,
hot take real quick, I'm not doing that.
No. No.
I don't give a shit.
I don't.
Nor am I accepting anybody that texts me and says, bro, look at my collection cabinet. No. Just send me a Snapchat of the image or whatever that you just got, and we'll call it a day.
It's just dumb. And then the whole customer service thing, that's...
Nah. That's just icing on the cake.
Yeah,
and honestly, not surprising at all.
No. What is it with Sony and these systems they implement where they just cannot feel genuine.
They can't be pushing themselves further away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're running away. And as they're running away, they're over their shoulder yelling worse ideas.
Yes. Sony is hilarious.
They're running away, not in the way that people, like, chase after somebody to, like, you know, oh, no, let me catch you. They're running away and then realizing that everybody behind them is slowing down as they just yell worse and worse things.
They cannot be in the lead. Like, if they are
they don't know how to handle it.
They do not know how to handle it. They are the epitome of, like, company choking on success, essentially. It's just hilarious.
Hilarious. Okay, number 9. Limited Run Games has announced the launch of its own book publishing imprint. I don't know what the fuck that means. Called Press Run. The book publishing label will be led by Limited Run's media creator Jeremy Parrish, former editor-in-chief at US Gamer and senior creative director at Greenlit Content, and Jared Petty, current senior editor and project manager of publications at Limited Run and former IGN senior editor. Press Run will be publishing games-related books every month, with the first title being Limited Run, The Complete Run, Volume 1, depicting the publisher's own games between 2015 and 2016. Upcoming titles include retrospectives dedicated to the Virtual Boy, Japanese publisher Sunsoft, or games released on the NES in 1987, among others. Limited Run was already selling more retrospective games on its store as part of its offering, including a book dedicated to PlayStation that will be reprinted following the launch of Press Run. Limited Run Games was acquired by Embracer Group in August. Earlier this year, the publisher announced the opening of its first retail store in North Carolina. I kind of like this idea of, like, if they're nice looking, it'd be cool if they were like kind of like a nice coffee book table you could have. Or...
Well, that's kind of Limited Run's thing, is to make things nice, not just eke out shit.
Yeah, but my concept of nice and other people's concept of nice might be different.
Yeah, I know. You want 90s nice, so we got to have fur covers and...
I'm not saying 90s.
Whatever, old man.
I just don't want it to look gaudy.
Okay, old man.
Gaudy.
Hey, yo. Pretty gaudy over there. Number 10, speaking of Saudi Arabia, from 4 stories ago. Saudi Arabia's Savvy Games Group, or the SG2s, or the SGG.
SG squared.
Ooh, I like that. All right. Has outlined an investment plan that will see it commit $37.8 billion to build the country's presence in the global games industry, including $13.3 billion earmarked for the acquisition and development of a leading game publisher to become a strategic development partner.
Got that oil money.
Oh, Sony, Microsoft, you guys want to talk about non-competes?
All right, who's worth $13.3 billion?
Sony.
Google. Is it Sony?
Not that specific number. They're worth less than that, but...
Sony's worth less than $13 billion?
Yeah, why not?
I don't.
How much was the...
Well, actually...
Wait, hold on. How much was Microsoft doing the Activision merger for?
70.
Billion?
Yeah, 69.
It was billion? For some reason, I thought that was million all the
time.
That's
a billion. That's a big B.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then not Sony.
Destiny was 4, or...
Oh, EA. Bethesda was 7.
That's what I was going to say was EA.
Yeah, because that fits with their profile. They have... I don't know. Hold on. Let me finish the story before I start discussing Saudi investment funds. Which is going to get me in trouble. Savvy Games Group is 100% owned by the Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund and has Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman serving as the chairman of its board of directors. Behind the acquisition money, Savvy's investment plan calls for $18.6 billion for minority investments in existing companies, such as the Public Investment Fund has already taken stakes in Embracer Group, Nintendo, Capcom, and Nexon. So the Public Investment Fund are the ones that are doing golf. They're the ones that set up, I can't remember what the name of the tour
Live
is.
Golf?
Live Golf, yes. The tour opposite the PGA Tour. They also have a bunch of soccer investments. The Public Investment Fund bought or is part of the purchase of Newcastle United in the Premier League. They have influence over a bunch of other sports too. So it like just lines up that they would buy EA. That like fits 100%. And that fits with EA's weird marketing shit that they would say yes.
I can see them buying in. The problem with EA, they could buy into it. According to Google, EA's market capitalization is $32 billion.
That's capital though. That's not what they'll sell for.
Yeah, but
They will sell for less than 15. Bethesda was 7. EA doesn't have titles anymore. EA has 2 titles.
I'm thinking.
You know, they have more in theory now with Codemasters working on things, but we haven't seen them yet. An F1 manager, which isn't, you know,
which also works.
Works with Saudi. Like EA, EA is screaming to get bought by them.
Bye bye BioWare.
You BioWare bitch. Oh, they were already gone.
Tears.
I know. Listen, pour one out, but I mean they've been dead. What did they hire a new lead for their new game yet?
No, they did come out with a blog post about Dragon Age 4, and it was like literally had nothing in it.
Did it just say sorry?
it was like, you know, like marketing crap.
It should have said, sorry, we opened our mouth too soon.
What it said was, you don't have to play the first 3 to play 4. And like, you know, we want new fans to be able to come in and blah, 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 which I appreciate the sentiment. But that worries me when you have a fucking 4 attached to your game. Well, they don't really have a 4. It's, what's it called? Dreadwolf. Number 11. Speaking of dead things, Google is calling it quits on Stadia. As announced in a post on the company's blog by Stadia VP and General Manager Phil Harrison. Harrison said, quote, while Stadia's approach to streaming games for consumers was built on strong technology foundation, it hasn't gained the traction with users that we expected, so we've made the difficult decision to begin winding down our Stadia streaming service, end quote. The post said that Google would be refunding all Stadia hardware purchases made through the Google Store, as well as game and add-on content sales made through the Stadia Store. Kind of crazy. Most of these refunds are expected to be completed by mid-January 2023. Stadia users will also be able to access their libraries through January 18, 2023. Several developers have voiced concerns following the announcement of Stadia's closure, as they were given no prior notice. Maya developer Simon Roth tweeted that it was, quote, months of his work going in the bin again, adding that he wasn't given any prior notice. Quote, every time something bad happens in games, the people affected, sometimes having their lives turned upside down, learn from the press or Twitter. No emails, phone calls, no heads up, no note on the website, end quote. He added that he doesn't, quote, know anyone doing Stadia stuff right now who has heard anything more than the press has, end quote. Further down his thread, he shared a screenshot from another Twitter user showing that Google staff were allegedly only told about the closure 3 hours before the public announcement. Other developers have shared similar stories, some even having planned releases scheduled for this week. Kind of wild, kind of classic. You know, I think we all knew it was coming.
I've been asking for it to happen.
Yeah. I can't believe they still had games in development for it.
That's the part that's wild.
Yeah.
Again, par for the fucking course of them not knowing how to actually tell people things.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go, yep, we're canceling it. And then the dev just goes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, that's nice for the consumers, I guess, that everything's getting refunded.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I mean, on one hand, cool move. On the second hand, you know they wouldn't be doing that if it was a significant amount.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I mean,
it's
I don't know how many actual controllers and stuff they sold, but still,
I hope we get leaked information at some point being like,
only $20.
Google's a publicly traded company, right?
Yeah.
So they'd have to release it at some form. Someone's going to have to dig through their financials.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Crazy, though. I wonder if they found someone who wants to use the tech.
Maybe, but who knows? Because that was the whole thing with Mixer going down with Microsoft, is they killed it. And they're like, somebody might want to use the tech or something. Maybe we doing something else. And then you're kind of like, now this whole thing is a, who's using whose tech anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, you know, And will anybody anybody admit they are?
No.
Like, would somebody dare? Would Ubisoft dare say, we're now using the Stadia tech to... Honestly, yeah. Ubisoft would, and they'd say it's a new technology. Yeah. Like, no, Ubisoft.
And who knows? I mean, it could be... They could be reusing it in a completely different application exactly. that we don't even fucking realize, so...
Yeah. And number 12, let's talk WoW. Blizzard has finally locked in a release date for World of Warcraft Dragonflight. The expansion, which introduces dragon riding, the new Drakthyr race, and much more, will be flying our way on November 28th.
Anything you want to elaborate on the expansion? I mean, there is the craziness about the raid and all
so,
that releasing.
Yeah, the quick elaboration is raid is the 12th or 13th, I guess, depending on regions and whatever. Normal, heroic, and mythic unlock the same exact week. That's when Mythic Plus Season 1 starts. Necrotic and Inspiring are removed as affixes. We get four new dungeons and four dungeons from the past as Mythic Plus dungeons. It'll be an interesting and crazy time. 2 weeks to get yourself ready to go into the raid.
How's the skill changes, talent changes? I mean, how are those looking?
I think the majority of them are looking good. I know there's a lot of people that, or a lot of classes that will potentially scream in unison of me saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the majority of them are all set. There's a couple that need to like bug tuning or balance changes. But other than that, the majority of everything looks pretty good. Does this feel rushed to a lot of people? Yes. Were certain people complaining about Christmas raiding? Yes. Christmas happens 2 weeks after the raid launches, so I'm confused by that sentiment. But otherwise, I'm excited. It doesn't the Christmas raiding doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
Other than
getting you something to watch, maybe.
Yeah, but whatever. I know it can affect the top end, obviously. It affects the top end, but it doesn't affect the top end, in quotes. It affects the top end in the way that that's just when they're raiding now, and they, you know, have to change holiday plans or whatever. It doesn't affect them, because no matter when it drops, they are going to raid.
Yeah.
Obviously, yes, you know, holidays around family and yada yada, but...
I kind of like it, because it's almost like a... There's so little time, I feel like, to prepare on this one that I feel like it levels the playing field a little bit more.
It does, but it's also the worry because there's no heroic week tuning.
So, they,
how,
why,
you have
what
to
are
tune,
they walking
into? You have to tune
into?
Three things now.
Yeah.
You have to tune the mythic version, the heroic version, and the normal version all in the same week, and that's like,
maybe so, they just
but
think
I mean, they're
they have
setting,
it.
They're setting themselves up to do it, so it'll be interesting. The thing for me is like, if that raid for World First takes longer than 3 weeks or 2 weeks, that would be crazy for a first raid of an expansion for them. Possible, but it would be crazy. So I think everybody will still get their holidays and they'll be fine. I'm not sure it even lasts a lockout. Maybe it makes it more than 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sad chance that it might be 1 week and then on first reset it gets killed. Like, there's that chance too. So. Who knows? Won't know really until everything's out there and we're like leading into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't foresee Christmas raiding actually being an issue. Other than the typical Christmas raiding where it's like we're doing re-clears and whatever, which at that point, no one should be caring whether or not they're there or not.
Yeah.
No matter what level of guild you are.
Like, it's interesting. It is interesting.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about it when it comes out.
Oh, I'll be playing.
And probably plenty beforehand as well.
Be playing a shitload of it when it comes out.
Pre-patches a week at a time?
Is
that how that works?
No, two pre-patch weeks? Is usually like a month ahead of time.
So how's that going to work?
Well, that'd be beginning of November, so they still have a month before they would hit that.
Okay.
Normally, but I don't know. Maybe they'll be shorter. But even then, pre-patch, there's really not much going to be for us to do.
Yeah.
It's just going to be getting in and playing everything with the new talent trees and doing new UI stuff, which that's why I need it to be a month, hopefully, is because when they put the new UI in the game, it's when everybody needs to set everything. Like, you don't want to have launch night happening with the new UI for the first time.
Yeah.
And everybody trying to, like, customize their UI for the first 3 hours.
Also could be funny, though.
It could, but I wouldn't do it. I would settle with whatever I would settle with whatever UI I had, get to the end level all the way up, and then go, okay, now I can mess with this for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, everybody.
Hitting the protein real hard this week.
Oh, dude, so hard.
A lot of protein shakes.
Listen, man, that I'm like Toots McGee over here. They call me Toots, not Toots. Hey, I'm tooting here.
Tooting here.
Tommy Tooters.
All right, let's go through some short things. Going to write full paragraphs about.
Oh, hey, I like that.
Annapurna Interactive. I can enunciate. Published a physical edition of Stray for PS5 last week, making it the highest selling new release on the past. Of the past week, at least in the UK. It landed at number 3 in its debut week. People wanted that physical copy, apparently. Bandai Namco Europe has launched the Bandai Namco Music Label, which will publish original soundtracks and scores from a number of the studio's games. The label has published 2 albums so far. Music from Elden Ring, which came out earlier this month, and music from Tales of Arise, which released this week. Intel has announced their Arc A770 graphics card will retail for $329. The A770 and 750 are coming out October 12th. Interesting price point.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see testing because I think it'll all be just entry.
Yeah.
What
someone said,
you want a third person to show up. So
yeah, I saw people saying. I mean, I think these expectations are high.
Yeah.
But they were saying the 770 would slot between the 3060 Ti and a 3070. And I was like,
that is a high level to set.
Yeah.
For first run.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, we got a game coming out early. Scorn is releasing on PC via Steam and the Epic Game Store. Xbox Series X and S, and day one on Xbox Game Pass on October 14th. It was originally slated for the 21st.
Extra spooky time.
Yep. Spooky.
That game is gross.
Is it gross? I've seen some
clips. That's the one that's like...
Hey, put shit on your arms and stuff.
Put things in you. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that game that when we watched it, we were like, what the fuck is this? It's that game.
Yes. Where was I?
Picturing you just playing the game, going, yes,
yes, put the things inside me. weird. Number 5, an alleged AMD desktop CPU roadmap has leaked out, which shows the Ryzen 7000 3D V-Cache parts coming in early 2023.
Let's just be clear, the only reason this is there is because I'm here.
I'd like CPUs.
I know, but the 3D one being the one you highlight.
Well, I mean, that was the only one on the roadmap. Other than I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. With Threadripper and 7000G, which surprisingly, the 7000G ones are the ones I'm interested in. CPUs coming in the second half of 2023. According to Ascend, the roundabout, another one, by the way. Moving on. Done with CPUs. According to established leaker Tom Henderson.
Tommy!
Always leaking. Might want to get that checked out. Need for Speed Unbound is the title of the next installment, and it will be coming December 2nd.
That is scary.
better believe it's scary. It's frightening. It's going to be terrible. That series is dead now.
To be fair, the series has been dead for a while, but you're going to drop a new Need for Speed coming in December and not say shit so far?
Mm-hmm. This one, they were working on, and then the team got pulled to work on... Battlefield. That was it. Battlefield 2042. And then they got put back on it.
Yeah, that won't screw up development at all.
And then after this, they're getting absorbed by Codemasters.
Yeah, it's the Criterion team.
Yep. So.
What a ride.
I don't know about that. Phasmophobia has released a huge update just in time for the spooky season. The updates includes new locations, custom difficulty settings, and an apocalypse event.
Apocalypse Now.
And,
be a weird event.
Would be. Good movie. The tweet of the week.
Oh.
Courtesy of Brandon Sinclair. You're going to like this one.
All right.
Quote, Duke Nukem Forever went 5,156 days from its announcement
I know this tweet.
In 1997 to its release in 2011. It has been 5,234 days since the first Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer was released.
Yep.
Beyond Good and Evil 2. Worse than Duke Nukem Forever now. Think about that. 5,234 days. That's such a long time.
Man, imagine being a fan of that.
No, I don't think there should be any fans anymore. Fucking stop it. No, you can be fans. I get it. Yeah.
They will weep tears of joy and or pain when it finally comes out.
Best be the best. Fuck. We said the same thing about Duke Nukem. But it better be the best fucking game ever when it does come out, which it won't be. It'll be soft. They'll look like Skull and Bones. With a fucking pig.
You're a monkey and a pig on a boat. I don't know.
Yeah, throw a banana. Hey.
Yeah, you're in space. Fuck it.
Blizzard is requiring SMS Protect for Overwatch 2 and Modern Warfare 2. People are very upset about it.
Well, stop trying to be bad.
Overwatch 2 will collect temporary voice chats of reported players in an effort to cut down on disruptive behavior.
That's going to be a full server very fast.
People are also very upset about that.
Yeah, well, maybe stop being racist in voice chat.
I mean, that's a fair
racist, sexist, homophobic.
You know what, guys? Shit? I have a really good idea.
Don't talk to each other.
You know what? That's exactly what I was going to say. Don't talk to each other.
So I'll bring this up. He might be listening. So I'm going to tell a story. The story's going to last pretty quick. He already knows it's coming. I can already hear him saying, you son of a bitch. So here we go.
Son of a bitch. Talking give me a drink.
Talking on Discord to somebody the other night. They're playing WoW.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing two separate versions. I'm on Classic. He's in Retail.
Okay.
And he's doing a key.
He's
doing a key. Tommy doing keys. And he's doing a key, and he's doing only a 2. So it's a low-level key, right? I think it's actually a 5 for the sake of the story being accurate, but who gives a shit? So he's doing the key. Now, he's on his like newer 60, you know, working on getting the guy gear because he spun a wheel to figure out what he was going to play in Dragonflight. Risky move. Landed on the Warrior, so now he's got to get the Warrior geared before Dragonflight releases.
Spun a wheel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he made the wheel himself, but... So he could change.
Was it all just Warriors?
Yeah. All things Warrior. Oops, all Warrior. So he's doing that, right? Jumps in the group, and one of the guys says, now it's a 5, which is a baby. We're talking.
Hello.
We're talking Welcome to World of Warcraft.
All right, World of Warcraft. Welcome to World. This is a Mac key.
So the random. Yeah, this is a Mac key. So the random guy jumps in and says, haha, you guys want to all get in Discord and like. Just for shits and giggles. The random guy says that.
Okay.
And he says, I'm going to hit him with the no, late, the old lady's sleeping or something like that. I was like, you can just say no. You don't have to give an excuse. You don't have to interact with them.
Yeah.
You honestly don't even have to say anything. you can say no. That's polite enough as far as I'm concerned. That's more polite than just ignoring them. Mm-hmm. You can just say no. Gets halfway through the key. About. And I hear him say, you're right. I shouldn't have ever said anything because now they're all just talking amongst each other. And like the shaman died and then immediately onked. And he's like, you didn't see that. We're like, no, we all saw you stand in the thing. And it's just like it's the little haha. Everybody's playing friendly and nice and everything. And it's like, no, but you're all bad and playing friendly and nice. No, no. So it's like, just don't talk to each other.
Yeah, you'll be better off. Honestly, you'll be better off. Unless you know the people you're playing with, and you're like, hey, we're friends, let's chit-chat.
Or you're actually doing hard content, and the players are being good.
In which that case...
you slowly reach out.
You don't be a dick.
Yeah, always. Always don't be a dick until you're like me, and you fucking lost it. Because while you had some good players... the bad ones were dragging you down.
Don't be Nate. Don't do what Nate would do.
Or no, you can do what I would do, because then usually what I did is I muted myself, threw on Spotify, and listened to Doom Eternal music.
I mean, that sounds like because it might be therapy, but fine.
It was better than me saying anything, and the song I chose was The Only Thing They Fear Is You. Because if you...
you definitely need some therapy.
Because here's the thing. Listen, if anybody that listens knows what I'm talking about, you play Venthyr Boomkin during 9.1 and 9.2, okay? So you gotta catch some stars. But when you're in your cooldowns, and if you get to start the boss at cooldowns, then what you're gonna do is you're gonna click play on The Only Thing They Fear Is You. And right about the time where the ramp starts for your Boomkin stuff, you're gonna be headbanging, and it's gonna be a great time.
I think we found the voice for your...
for my VTuber rig?
Yeah, for your VTuber rig.
No, the VTuber rig is just going to be me being normal and then every now and then just losing my mind into different voices.
It'll, like, you know, come with glasses or a hat or cigarette in your mouth. Like, now listen here.
Can it come with a New York Yankees hat, a cigarette in my mouth, and a pair of Timbs?
Yes. I don't know how we'd put the Timbs.
Don't worry about
in.
The Timbs. Put the Timbs on my hands.
You know, it might work. You might be on to something.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm Tommy doing dungeons out here. Ah, fucking, look at this.
I'm Tommy Dungeon right now, okay?
I'm Tommy Dungeon. I throw stars at people, man. I just don't.
It'll be crazy. Gotta write these down.
Every time I've thought about that VTuber thing since we talked about it last week has just been... gold mine of things in my head that I'm like, I don't know who I need to hire to do this, if it's Matt or if I need to hire somebody to actually do it.
Oh,
because holy shit, it would be so good. Because then all I would do is I would just bind things on like a keypad somewhere,
yeah,
that were just all the different outfits.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, I'm Tommy Dungeon, welcome to the dungeons, we're gonna shoot some stuff. Stars, sun, boom, lunar, arcane damage into your body. You die. And I said you're sleeping with the fishes.
Oh, God, I'm dying.
It's such... I couldn't fucking keep... the bad thing is I would have to... you'd hear that, and then I'd be muted, because there'd be nothing else. I'd be dying on the other end of that, because I couldn't keep it up.
Good. We'll do it. We're going to throw it together. We're doing it. All right. Last thing on here is some trailers. We watched some trailers. Last Dude. Of Us TV series. You have any comments?
The trailer looks great. I hate that it's I don't like that it's just following game one.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll make sure to throw in some other scenes and stuff, like some extra content filler, just to kind of like keep it spicy enough.
Yeah, I saw... I noticed watching it this time that there was a scene with Ellie with the, I don't know, I can't remember her name.
Yes,
but the girl,
the other girl.
Yeah, the black girl. There was a black girl.
Yes.
I think that was her first kiss, or no, or was it someone else?
No, I think that was somebody else.
Okay.
I don't 100% remember, because it's been so long and I don't want to play the game again.
Yeah.
But the show looks good. It's just that I'm like burned on it.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, they've released the same game 3 times.
Maybe I'll watch it at some point if like it gets rave reviews and I kind of need something to watch, but I'm behind on too many things to pick up a new show.
That's fair. The Callisto Protocol.
if you're thinking about playing Dead Space Remake when it comes out and you're not thinking about playing Callisto Protocol, you're going to make the wrong choice.
Are they lining up like... I know they're real close to each other.
They're close, but I don't think they're that close. I think you could play both of them with no issue. But you, if your money becomes a, do I play Dead Space or Callisto, you need to just get Callisto.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As far what I've seen so far. But I don't think we've really seen it on Dead Space yet.
Not really, but I'm just telling you, get Callisto. You already know what Dead Space is.
Yeah.
So if there's, here's the thing. It'll either exceed your expectations by enough to be like, okay, cool, the remake was worth it. It will disappoint you because it's not as good as your brain remembers it to being.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just will actually be bad, irrelevant of what you have for memories. Those are like your three outcomes. So you're rolling a two-thirds chance or a one-third chance that it's actually like good.
Yeah.
Callisto, you're rolling a 50-50, good or bad. 33%, 50%. And all I'm saying is in Tommy Dungeons, 50.
Oh, God.
But it looks great.
It does. It looks really good.
I can't wait to watch somebody else play it.
That's fair. Overwatch 2 launch trailer.
Looks like more Overwatch.
Same.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just hope it's fresh enough to keep people... interested in playing it. I'll be playing it the weekend it comes out, just to, you know, play around, get used to like new characters, new heroes, whatever. Feel
needs it's a little free, shot in the arm.
It's free to play, so we'll see how the battle pass thing works, and you know, yada yada. But it might just be like, all right, cool, yeah, I'm waiting for dungeons, play a couple rounds, boom, boom,
boom. And finally, Wild Hearts, which was EA original, that looks like
reminds us a lot of Monster Hunter.
Yes. Japanese.
More Japanese Monster Hunter. I mean, Monster Hunter itself is Japanese, but this was like in Japan, Monster Hunter. But for, I don't know why, if it was the trailer we watched or something, it looked like it was either Switch graphics or just hard locked like 720. Like it didn't look crisp and defined. And maybe that's their art style they're going for. I don't know. But something about it just didn't look amazing to me visually.
I think the problem is, I'm going to get real ridiculous here, but it looked oversaturated and blown out, which gives it a soft look.
That might be true.
So like the exposure, the contrast is just too high.
I feel like if that trailer was redone, like put through a renderer or something, and everything was crisped right up, it would look beautiful.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the one we watched didn't look... I walked away going, something looks wrong, not that looks amazing.
Yeah. Looks interesting. Probably not the type of game I'd play, but it's cool.
So, yeah, that's all I got. You got anything?
No. Andor's fantastic. And
that's... Oh, yeah, I was going to say it's been 7 days, but
yeah. We're done.
I meant any more news things.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, what have you been up to? Andor?
Yeah, watching TV, Andor and the Rings of Power. I've liked both so far. Andor straight up, like, they released the first three episodes right off the bat. I didn't get a chance to watch all three in one sitting. I wish I had. I watched two and then watched the third. And I would say the three Andor episodes are a better movie than any new movie they put out from Star Wars.
I would believe that. I mean, to be fair, it's a low bar to begin with, though.
Yeah. Like, I almost got, like, I got emotional in the way that I'm like, this is what I've always wanted Star Wars to be.
Yes, the almost like nostalgia emotional.
Yes.
Where you're like, yes.
Yes.
Finally.
Yep. And,
I did see somebody else, J.B, a healer main in WoW, who I follow for a lot of stuff because I really like his content. Mm-hmm. You actually would too, but he had a tweet where he's like, I've been watching a lot of like banger shows, and watching Andor actually crush it when I've hated all of the other new Star Wars stuff.
The other thing too is like, it's clearly a bar above in every way, like the writing, the acting, the
kind of like they finally figured it out type of move.
Yeah, I think they just put the time in because this was the first show announced.
That's true,
and like the development, like they. All their other shows, they've used The Volume, which is their new production studio that's all screens, and you can tell. This one, I haven't seen...
I know what show or what set you're talking about. Westworld used it too.
Yes. I haven't seen a shot in this in Andor yet where I'm like, oh, that's the volume. Like, I think they did this all old school.
Which definitely gives you the feel you want. The volume is amazing. Mm-hmm. It is a technical marvel.
Yeah.
If you ever actually get to kind of see behind it and how it functions, it's actually insane. Because it's a it's a room of screens that you can walk in and out. Like, you're walking on top of the screen, so that they're literally putting you in the full set without
having to. The sky is a screen. Like, everything's a screen. It's nuts. And it's great. It's an amazing tool, and it makes
shows. But it does make certain things.
Yeah,
like, if you don't have an actor or actress that can, like, leverage it in the right way, it becomes an issue.
And you can tell the way that they use it, too, because you can tell when there's objects, and there's only so many people in the shot, and there's only objects, like, a certain distance. Like, depth of field gets a little weird. But anyways, this show, like, the production quality is just above any other show they put out so far. And even, like, the way they cut the scenes and stuff and the way the show moves, it's just better. So.
Good. I gotta get on that then.
And I mean, to be completely honest, I don't think it's going to be for everyone, because it is like...
It is Star Wars.
It's Star Wars, and there are some deep cuts. Like, I kept pausing it at certain times because I was like, oh my god, that's a fucking reference to this. And like...
Like,
you know,
watching WoW content with you, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Exactly. Like, and it does move... It's very suspenseful. So it moves slower than some people might want. It's not like a crazy action fest.
Yeah, it's not the prequels.
Yeah. But I'm loving it so far. And yeah, I don't think I've done anything else new this week. So that's about it.
Fair enough.
What have you been up to?
World of Warcraft.
Classic.
In more ways than one.
Classic. Again.
Yeah, Wrath of the Lich King, classic. Leveling there and just remembering that I don't know why I do this.
Feel the grind.
Yeah,
feel the burn.
Feel it so bad. It's one of those where it's, man, the things you could get a small child to do. The patience they have was insane. And now I'm like, I need to be done with this and doing endgame.
I think if anything, it just goes to show how different things are now. Because, like, WoW was, it's not like WoW wasn't popular, like, at that point.
No, WoW was extremely popular at that point.
And now, like, we just wouldn't, if that was a new game, we just wouldn't put up with it.
If I had to level 1 to 80, like, I'm only leveling from 70 to 80. If I had to level 1 to 80 in Classic right now, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I straight up wouldn't do it.
It's just where our attention, like, our concept
My
of, like,
ADHD
what we have time
is insane.
For. Yeah. It's just not there.
I don't have time for that anymore. That back then was like, you dedicated your life to WoW
mm-hmm.
to get done.
Yeah.
Now I would like to play other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I can. In retail, I can. I can get everything I wanted to done within like 2 to 3 days, depending on if I'm rating.
You're kind of not wrong with that statement, though, because like when that came out originally, video games were such a thing and so like released so infrequently and stuff that like, WoW would be your only thing. Like, that might just be your hobby, your thing, the thing you do.
Yeah.
So you didn't have
and now it's like
you didn't have Game Pass being like, oh, I have 100 and something games at my fingertips. You know what I mean?
Yep,
like,
you didn't have that. You didn't have the quality of games was worse. And to say that is to say that the quality of games per millions was worse.
What someone needs to do is put together a book that is like kind of like the history of WoW, but do it in like a really high quality like history book way.
Like,
and like, and I'm not being like
I want the 35 encyclopedia rack.
I'm being like 100% serious. Like, if someone took the time and wrote like a history of WoW, it probably would be super fascinating. And I mean, like, from the mental point of like, you know, they give you the history and everything, but they like walk you through like how it existed and why it was so popular and like at like
Yeah, not just everything. Like, don't give me the history of WoW as a story and game. Give me the history of the WoW as in the culture and everything around.
Yeah, it from... how it, like, society yeah. and, like, everything. Like, I think it would be super interesting.
Like, you guys had Mr. T being a Night Elf Mohawk.
Yeah, yeah.
Vern Troyer was a gnome. Like,
I mean, someone could probably do a book just on the history of, like, the race to world first.
At this point, yeah.
And, like, the different...
Because now it's just bigger and bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah. Just like the teams and then just the whole thing. Yeah. Could be cool.
It'd be really interesting if you could go back all the way to the beginning for some of the ones that took like 200 something days when there wasn't technically a race. It was just the first kill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could ever find anybody from those that you could like actually talk to and be like, what was,
yeah,
was there any like thought, yada, yada, all that stuff. But yeah, it would be very interesting. But yeah, it is very much like the, when I say the quality of games was, or the amount of bad games was higher, or not higher, but there were less good games. It was like you had your staples at that point. You had your Call of Duties, you had your, you know, your FIFAs, your whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have all of these indie studios just showing up with games at your door where it's like, Stardew Valley doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Stardew Valley is one of the most successful indie games that, like, hey, cool. Oh, how many games? I read what? 15 games each week almost?
Mm-hmm.
That's not even close to the actual number that came out. That's not counting everything that's on. I'm not talking what got added to Game Pass, which might not be new games, but that's all games you could go play again. I'm not talking about everything that's on Steam. I'm only talking about a few things. That's not even counting itch.io.
I mean, when Wrath came out originally, there might have been a new game release, like a new big game release, like, if you're lucky, once a month, and it wasn't that often. It was like,
yeah,
you know, once every 2 or 3 months, there'd be a new game. That
and even then, like, your internet wasn't the same, so you weren't going,
yeah,
oh, yeah, I'm going to go play Wrath. Hope I don't knock somebody off the phone line. It wasn't my experience, but, like, you know, there's that for a bunch of it, for a lot of people. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm playing this, but my cousin's playing Xbox downstairs. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are just a lot of
crazy. A lot people of things... forget. I think it's kind of why it's funny to think about, because there is that, like, we have knowledge at our fingertips now, but there's like the 80s and 90s and 2000s that, like, everyone just kind of like has lost concept of, like, how.
Well, there's the old it's a Pete Holmes joke that I'll reference for the end of this podcast. It's a Pete Holmes joke that he's talking about. We know everything and we're not a lick smarter for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the internet in the back of your hand, which knows everything. It's like a drunk passenger in an Uber that just will always answer whatever you tell it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess quoting the Bo Burnham one, ocean at your fingertips, or no, world at your fingertips, ocean at your door.
I don't remember the exact line.
Oh,
sounds good.
Yeah, world at your fingertips, ocean at your doors, I believe the phrase he's using. But the Pete Holmes thing goes on. He's like, you used to just be a time where you would have whimsy of not knowing an answer. Like, where's Tom Petty from? You're not gonna know.
Yeah.
You can't go. Your phone's not screaming at you. Like, Google's not like, ah, it's from Florida or wherever he is. And I think it is somewhere in Florida. This is weird because of the whole point of the joke, because I think he's somewhere in Florida. But anyway, the whole thing of, you didn't know. So you just go, you know, you meet somebody in the store. You're like, hey, where's Tom Petty from? You know, I don't know. Now they have that same, like, well, one, why the fuck did that guy ask me where Tom Petty's from? And two, you know, you see somebody with a Heartbreakers t-shirt. Where's Tom Petty from? I don't know. Let's think about that. So you find another person. Now you're five people deep at this point, trying to figure out your answer, because you couldn't just Google it. And then you find out Florida, and you go, ah, another bit of useless information, but I now know the answer. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Where now,
you have to work for it so you remember it. Now it's just like,
yeah, now I can cycle things in and out constantly. Now I know too much about my fucking WoW history and rotations and how to play the game and whatever, that I go, how do I... All right, I have to get gas in the car. How do I... Card? The pump? How's this newfangled contraption work? I don't see Moon can form and then Star Surge. And I don't see that here. It's just like there's just things like that where you run into an issue and it's back to you still catch some people, right? There every now and then you'll run into that person that is that drunk person answering things for you, mm-hmm. but they're answering things without looking them up when they have the option to look them up, and that's what sent me. You guess, oh yeah, it was this, and then I'm like, I have my phone. Google, you're not even close to the right answer.
Way off, buddy.
So yeah, there's it gives and takes, but it is definitely a very different time that people look back on with forgetting blinders.
Yeah. It's easy to forget.
True. All right. Anything else though?
I'm all good.
I'm all shook up. All right. And that being said, we will see you guys in 7 days. Bye-bye.